Welcome to the Daily Stoic Podcast. Each day we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, illustrated with stories from history, current events, and literature to help you be better at what you do. And at the beginning of the week, we try to do a deeper dive, setting a kind of Stoic intention for the week, something to meditate on, something to think on, something to leave you with, to journal about, whatever it is you happen to be doing. So let's get into it. This is what discipline looks like. Marcus Aurelius was strict with himself. He slept on a hard mattress. He didn't drink or eat to excess. He didn't have affairs or lose his temper. Cato was strict with himself too. He didn't wear fancy clothes or live a life of ease. But what's remarkable about both these men, given this strictness, is the love and affection they both had for their brothers, who had very different approaches to life. Cato's brother wore nice clothes and fine perfumes. Marcus Aurelius' stepbrother liked to party. Yet Marcus wrote in Meditations how much Lucius Verus enriched his life and helped Marcus improve his own character. Cato was overcome with grief when he lost his brother. This strictness, it was said, was limited only to themselves, as it should be. That's why it's called self-discipline, after all. Gandhi was notoriously strict with himself. He subsisted on next to nothing. He did not drink alcohol or basically anything but water. He thought others should follow his example, but he also thought it perfectly fine that his wife disagreed. "My wife takes tea in spite of the fact that she lives with me. She also takes coffee," Gandhi once told a biographer. But the most beautiful part was what he added after that. "I would even lovingly prepare it for her." A Stoic is not a scold, and nor are they a tyrant. We are strict with ourselves, tolerant with others. Our discipline is our discipline, as it should be. Our own struggles should keep us busy enough that we shouldn't even consider getting up in other people's business to fix theirs. Instead, let's meet others where they are, accept and love them as they are, because anything else is outside our control. It's actually funny, the original title of Discipline is Destiny, because I wanted to make this distinction so clear. It was going to be Self-Discipline is Salvation. I ended up going with Discipline is Destiny. It was shorter and I think prettier. But when I sign copies of the book, and I do it a bunch, you can actually get them in the Painted Porch or at store.dailystoic.com, I often just double underline self in the subtitle just to make that distinction. It's self-discipline. Tolerant with others, strict with ourselves. That was Marcus Aurelius' rule. It's actually a chapter about that at the end of the book. Anyways, you're listening to this on the podcast. Check out the audiobook of Discipline is Destiny anywhere audiobooks are sold. I'll link to it in today's show notes. If you want a signed copy, you can grab it at the Painted Porch or store.dailystoic.com. Do check out the book. I think discipline is super, super, super important. But as I have been on my own journey towards being more disciplined, I have become, in the tradition of Marcus and Cato, I've had to become more tolerant of others, even as I become stricter with myself. That's just how it works. That's just the only way to be if you want to be happy and not miserable because of your discipline. So check it out. Discipline is Destiny anywhere books are sold, and tolerant with others, strict with ourselves. There's a lot of things we know would be good for us. Problem is, we don't have time. It's just tougher. I think therapy is like that. We all know that sitting down, talking to someone, really working on our issues will make a difference. So the problem is finding a therapist, driving across town, all of that, right? And that's where Talkspace comes in, today's sponsor. Because by doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easier, more accessible, and more affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. You can have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. And Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end grade encryption to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter promo code SPACE80, that's 80, to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/stoic, promo code SPACE80.
Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. It's always sensitive talking about these things, but Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance needed. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/TDS. That's hims.com/TDS for your personalized ED treatment options. Hard mints are a chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with your healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Think about it from the other person's perspective. We tend to assume the best about our own intentions and the worst about other people's. Then we wonder why life is so full of conflict. The Stoics flipped this habit around, reminding themselves to be suspicious of their own first reaction and approach others first with sympathy. Powerful people are often surprisingly terrible at behaving this way, but Marcus Aurelius, the most powerful man on earth during his reign, was renowned for his humanity in dealing with others. He told himself always to take a moment to remember his own failings and to contemplate how another might see the situation. He reminded himself, as we should, that most people are trying their best, even though that's easy to lose sight of in the rough and tumble of daily life. Let's remember that today and think about each interaction from more than just our own point of view. That's the Daily Stoic Journal weekly entry. And we've got some quotes from Marcus Aurelius here. He says, "Whenever someone has done wrong by you, immediately consider what notion of good or evil they had in doing it. For when you see that, you'll find compassion instead of astonishment or rage. For you yourself may have had the same notions of good and evil or similar ones, in which case you'll make an allowance for what they've done. But if you no longer hold the same notion, you'll be more readily gracious for their error." Marcus Aurelius, Meditations 7:26. And then he says, "When your sparring partner scratches or headbutts you, you don't then make a show of it or protest or view him with suspicion or as plotting against you. And yet you keep an eye on him, not as an enemy or with suspicion, but with a healthy avoidance. You should act this way with all things in life. We should give a pass to many things with our fellow trainees. For, as I've said, it's possible to avoid without suspicion or hate." You know, I tell the story in Stillness is the Key. I open part one, the perception part of the book, with the story of Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. Kennedy and Khrushchev face off over some nuclear ballistic missiles placed on the island of Cuba. And what's so remarkable about this moment, why I look at Kennedy and why I think he embodies what Marcus Aurelius is talking about in both senses, both in the why did they do this, what are they trying to do, and also, you know, people are not great. They're going to try to cheat or pull one over on you, but you can't let that break you or make you bitter. You've got to be cognizant and aware of it. Kennedy thinks not just what he's going to do, but he's conscious enough to think, what is Khrushchev going to do? What is Khrushchev trying to do with this? And in fact, Khrushchev's real fatal calculation is that he doesn't have a good read on Kennedy. He'd sort of bullied Kennedy at a conference, had seen Kennedy bungle the Bay of Pigs. He thought he knew Kennedy, and he thought he knew America, but he didn't. He couldn't conceive of how America would react to these missiles right on that island. And Kennedy, though, realizes, especially when his military advisors are telling him, "You got to bomb Cuba. You got to bomb the shit out of Cuba. It's going to be, you know, we got to go in to avoid World War III." Kennedy knows that to do that, he thinks about Khrushchev, how they're in the same position. They're both leading these sort of loose coalitions and with divergent interests, and are human beings, but also heads of state. He's really able to think about Khrushchev's position. And he says, look, I'm not worried even about what Khrushchev's going to do in response to what I'm going to do. I'm worried about like step 6 or 7 in this chain of escalation. And so we think about things from people's perspective, not just because empathy is good, not just because justice is important, but strategically it's essential, right? I talked to, when I was in public relations, you would see people get so consumed with the truth of what they had to say or their own experience or their own point of view, they couldn't conceive that the reporter has their own interests, that the public has their own interests and position. To effectively navigate the world, to be successful, you've got to understand other people's perspective. You've got to think about what's going on with them. And this allows you to not only be more patient, more forgiving, and more gracious, as Marcus says, but it also allows you to be more effective and successful at whatever it is that you are doing. So I urge you today to spend some time practicing, let's call it strategic empathy. It will make you better. But most importantly, as we saw in the Kennedy and Cuban Missile Crisis example, it may well save the world. It makes the world a better place if we are more empathetic with each other. As Seneca said, we're all wicked people in a wicked world. If we can understand this, if we can be kind and patient and tolerant and understanding, we will all get more of what we want and need. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Guy Raz's How I Built This is a podcast where each week he talks to the founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you hear these entrepreneurs really go into their story. And Guy is an incredible interviewer. He doesn't just dance around the surface. He has real questions because he himself is an entrepreneur. He's built this huge show and this huge company. In a recent episode, they talked to the founder of Liquid Death, that crazy water company that's become this billion-dollar brand. Follow the show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. And for a deep dive in daily business content, listen to Wondery V. Destination for Business podcasts with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.